Welcome to the Medicare Help Desk radio show and podcast with Justin Colvin. Figuring out which coverage is best for you can be overwhelming and confusing. The Medicare Help Desk is here to answer all your questions. And now, here's your host, Medicare Specialist Justin Colvin.
Welcome to the Medicare Help Desk radio show and podcast. This is Justin Colvin, your host and insurance broker. This is episode 9. Today we're going to be discussing all things Medicare and supplement plan N. So thanks for tuning in. We run this broadcast every Sunday, 11:30 a.m. Eastern, 30 minutes of hard-hitting Medicare information. And so hopefully we are bringing some good value out there to our listeners. I'm Justin Colvin. I'm the owner of the MedicareHelpDesk.com. That's our insurance brokerage. We help seniors every day with Medicare plans, help them evaluate their coverage and choose the best options for them. If you have questions, you can call me direct. It's 850-632-0033. Or you can also text that number again as well, 850-632-0033. And it's Justin. So today's topic is, when does Medicare supplement plan N, as in Nancy, make sense? When does Medicare supplement plan N make sense? So this plan has been around for a long time. It's not new, but it is becoming very in vogue. Particularly the last, I'd say, 3 to 5 years. It's just growing in popularity. And I've covered in a previous podcast Plan F and Plan G and also, of course, Plan N. Those are kind of the big three supplements, but I'm writing more and more into Plan N when I'm doing supplements. And you may hear me use the term supplement or Medigap or Medicare supplement. It's the same thing, okay? It's just a term or terminology that's used in the industry, but these plans are all standardized, meaning they're all the same by letter type, so Plan N is the same coverage regardless of the company you would use. And so we're going to unpack that today in today's show. So the first segment, I'll give you a little bit of preface of why Plan N's been growing in popularity, what's kind of spurred that, what has made that occur, and how it's uniquely positioned to have this tremendous growth, okay, over the next few years. When we come back from the break, in the second segment, I'm going to go into more of the mechanics, what makes Plan N different, specifically what are the coverage differences, and there's just a couple small differences. It's really subtle. And then also, why is it a good fit for certain clients? Why it may not be a good fit for certain clients. But I think at the end of this podcast today, I think today you'll understand my positioning, and this will vary depending on who you talk to in the industry, but I've got a lot of experience. I've written thousands of clients. I've been in the Medicare business for 7 years. I'm a national firm. And I represent over 30-plus companies in 40 states across the U.S. Now, obviously, I'm here in Tallahassee. This is a local show. But I also do business nationwide. So I think that gives me a very unique vantage point in being able to tell you my opinion, which I think is very valuable. And I'm going to make the argument that I think this is kind of like the go-to supplement plan for most people. Not everybody, of course. But for a lot of customers, it just makes sense from a cost perspective. And I'm going to unpack all that today. So one of the reasons, in this first segment, one of the reasons we're going to talk about why Plan N has become so popular, there was some legislation passed back in 2015 called MACRA. And I've talked about this in a previous show called the Medicare Access and CHIP Reauthorization Act of 2015. This is a big piece of legislation. Like most legislation now, it's like hundreds or thousands of pages, right? But it did a lot of different things. The biggest one a lot of people reference was the Medicare number change, but it also impacted some of the supplement plan offerings. Specifically, Plan F and Frank has been eliminated, but only for those that are newly eligible to Medicare as of January 2020. So that doesn't impact everybody. There's a lot of people that have been on Medicare for many years that are older. They're still going to have access to Plan F as in Frank if they wanted to. It's just going to impact those that are newly eligible as of January 1st, 2020. So a lot of that would apply to people turning 65 as of that date, which was roughly, a year and a few months ago. So it's only impacting the newbies, essentially, right? Those that are new to Medicare as of last year. So what that did is it had some unintended consequences. So with F being eliminated, the Plan G, which was the next kind of supplement plan down, G as in George, became the top plan of record, basically the richest Medicare supplement plan. So with Medicare supplements, there's a component that I want to talk about that's kind of key, and it's called guarantee issue. And so what this means is guarantee issue is essentially when a individual has a right or federal protection to get supplemental coverage without having to show evidence of insurability, which is just insurance speak, but essentially underwriting. There's no health questions. And so that's one of the key provisions of Obamacare, ACA, is that there is no health questions, right? It's guaranteed issue. So with Medicare supplements, you generally have to go through underwriting. You have to answer health questions to qualify to change your plan. Unless you're new to Medicare, you know, for the first time, you get a fair crack at it, or you have this guarantee issue component that I'm referencing. And so this would be, for example, you lose coverage from yourself or your employer, maybe your spouse retired, you lost coverage from them, you moved outside of the service area. A lot of different things could occur there. Insurance company files for bankruptcy, that's pretty rare. But there's several of these things, these items, these special situations that would trigger a guarantee issue component. This now is on the Plan G. So before, Plan F was the plan where you had a guarantee issue component. So that means that if, for example, let's say I'm retiring from my job and I've already got Medicare A and B, but I'm retiring now. I have the rights to get a supplement plan. Since I'm not technically new, that Part B date has already been in place, that individual will have to go through underwriting. They have to answer health questions. Well, what if they're, going through chemotherapy? What if they're on dialysis? They have a major heart problem. They're not going to qualify to go through health questions. If they were healthy, we would underwrite them, and we put them on a Plan N. If they're not in that position to qualify, they still have a guarantee issue component that's going to help them get that supplement plan on a guaranteed basis without having to answer health questions. The only plan today that's guaranteed issue is that Plan G. It's not Plan N. So what does this mean? Well, hopefully I haven't thoroughly confused you here. Plan G is the only supplement plan that has that guarantee issue component, right? Meaning that it's a good thing for those that can get the plan. It's a bad thing for the rest of the individuals that are in that pool. So with insurance, the way they price these plans is it's based on the aggregate, right? So you have a pool of individuals, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people that make up a group. If the people coming in on a guaranteed issue basis have a significant health problem, let's say dialysis, nobody's going to approve that on an underwritten basis for a Medicare supplement. That's extremely expensive. You go into dialysis 3 times a week. I'm just using that as an example. If they have a guaranteed issue right, it does not matter. They can get that plan from any carrier that offers it, but only on Plan G. Now, you can see if those medical bills are $1 million a year, the supplement company's paying 20% of that, that's a significant amount of money. They have to spread that loss over millions or hundreds of thousands of other claimants. So they're going to, what it's going to do is put pressure on the rates, essentially. That's what I'm trying to make the explanation here, is that the rates will be higher for everyone in that group. So bottom line, Plan G has had higher rate increases, significantly so, since the passing of MAGRA and since it's been phased in. And so now that it has that guarantee issue component, and it may only be, a small percentage of people that use that guarantee issue right that have a significant health problem, but if you've got enough of them, you can see how it can really put some pressure on the future rate increases for supplement Plan G. If you're a healthy individual and you're in this plan, I've had customers that have had, larger increases just in the last few years, 15, 20, 25% increases. That's pretty hefty to take when you're on a fixed income every year. Plan N has performed much, much better, okay? The average rate increases on Plan N have been very, very timid, 3 to 5%. I've seen some companies where there's no change at all. So the rates vary, just like creep up. There's slow rate increases, which is exactly what you want to see, okay? You don't want to have big 20, 25% jumps. So this is a huge, huge component of why I'm advocating heavily for Plan N, if it makes sense for the right customer, because it's not just what you're going to pay right now, right? It's what you're going to pay in the future. And we all know insurance rates, like everything, and the cost of living does increase. And so just having the right plan type can do a lot in determining what those future rates will be. And so that's why when I present to a lot of customers or prospects, I go over the G and the N and explain those differences. So if you're just tuning in with us, it's Justin Colvin here with the Medicare Help Desk radio show and podcast. My website is www.themedicarehelpdesk.com. And if you have questions, you can call me 850-632-0033. So the two big things that I kind of talked about is that guarantee issue component. That's a big indicator in what the Plan G rates have been experiencing and why Plan N is so attractive right now and why I'm recommending it pretty often with clients if it makes sense for them. And I'll go into this in the second segment even more. Is because of that issue right there. Just bottom line, the rate increases on Plan N, as in Nancy, are a lot smaller than they are on Plan G. The second thing, again, with the Plan N, is the cost sharing. And we're going to go over this in a little more detail in the second segment, but you have additional cost sharing. You have your deductible, just like you have with Plan G. It's $203. Also, on top of that, you now have an office visit copay and an ER copay. Okay? And so they're very small. It's very subtle, but it's still there. You do have that additional cost sharing. But because of that, okay, it influences behavior, right, of individuals. Obviously, if you have a copay, you may not go to the doctor as much, right? And so that will, over time, keep the rates more affordable as well, because you're going to have customers that maybe delay some care or don't go as often because the copay is influencing that behavior, okay? And so that is key when you're looking at these plans. It's just not what I'm going to pay now. What am I going to pay in the future, okay? Hope that makes sense. We're going to go a little more detail in the second segment. We're going to talk about Plan N, the exact detail differences of these differences between Plan G and who's a good fit. So stick around. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. It's Justin Colvin with the Medicare Help Desk radio show and podcast. Welcome back to the Medicare Help Desk radio show and podcast. Your host and insurance broker, Justin Colvin. We're unpacking Medicare today and the supplement plan N. And why is it a good fit? When does it make sense? So we're going to talk about that more here in our second segment. If you're tuning in with us, it's Justin Colvin. I am the owner and insurance broker for the website, www.themedicarehelpdesk.com. My phone number, 850-632-0033. Call or text if you have questions. If you are listening to me outside the Tallahassee area, which is where we do this show, you can call me on my toll-free numbers, 1-800-414-2044. So today's topic, again, was Plan N. I kind of gave you a lot of the background as to why I feel Plan N is a very good value, and I think it's an extremely popular plan. It's growing tremendously, and I'm actually moving a lot of my clients from the F and G to this plan N, and we talked about a couple of those big things being the guarantee issue component, which exists on plan G but not on plan N, and unfortunately puts a lot of upward pressure on the rates, and then also the cost sharing. There's additional cost sharing with plan N. You have an office visit copay, you have an ER copay, and that will also help to lower your costs. Think of it like any other type of insurance, right? If you have a larger deductible on your auto or your homeowner's policy, would you pay more money or less money? Of course you pay less money. You have more risk now. Not much more, but you're going to have a little more caution, a little more risk or skin in the game, if you will. It's the same mechanics with a supplement plan, the same mechanics with health insurance. The more you will bring in terms of out-of-pocket expenses, the less your premium is going to be. And these are very small amounts. I mean, if you look at people that are on Obamacare or individual health insurance, their deductibles are really high. You know, their copays are much higher. They have copays on everything. This is with Plan G and Plan N, you have a $203 deductible every year. That is super, super small. I've got clients that are coming off employer coverage. They're paying $750, $1,500 or higher deductible. And their max out-of-pockets are up there, $5,000, $10,000. So, again, any of these plans, G or N, are both fine plans. They're phenomenal. They pay pretty much all the bills for very small, just out-of-pocket expenses. But I'm making the argument today why I think Plan N is a better overall value for most people. So let's unpack the coverage differences. I've been talking loosely about these copays. You're probably wondering how much they are. So the office visit copay, the way it's structured, the way it's written into the supplement plan, this is N, as in Nancy, is up to $20 for office visits. This would be things like your primary care physician, or PCP for short, or any specialist visits, okay? Now, it doesn't mean it will be 20 each visit. It could be, but it's dependent on the doctor's discretion. It's left up to them. Most of my clients, the feedback I've been getting is it varies by doctor visit. Sometimes they don't get it at all. You know, but many times it's 10 to 15 is what they've been seeing on average. But of course, they're allowed to charge up to 20. The good thing is this doesn't apply to physical therapy or occupational therapy. So PT, OT visits do not count towards this copay. All right. Also, the copays do not start until you've met your deductible. And on Plan N, you have the same deductible that you have on Plan G. It's the Part B as in boy deductible, which is $203 a year presently in the year of 2021. So that is the most you will pay on that deductible, and then the copay starts thereafter. So item one is meeting your deductible. Just like you have with Plan G, you just have the same deductible. Once that deductible has been satisfied, now these copays enter the picture. And again, it's up to $20 for primary and specialist visits, subject to the doctor's discretion, which could be less. The other copay is the emergency room visit, and that's up to $50. And the way that works is every ER visit is $50 unless you're admitted. Now, if they admit you to the hospital, you don't pay, okay? So it'd be like an ER visit in and out, same day. You know, they go in there, you know, they fix whatever the issue is, They run some tests. Maybe they figure out the problem, but you're only there for the day. You're not staying overnight, essentially. Or you're not being admitted. Once you get admitted to the hospital, it's a different transaction. It's under Part A. You don't have a office copay. So, I mean, most people aren't running to the ER that often. They may only go to the ER a few times in their lifetime. So that's not a very big part of the cost, okay? The biggest one, the biggest difference, and I tell people all the time when I'm doing this, when I'm communicating these plans, is this office visit copay, which is up to $20, which, again, is very modest considering the supplement premium, the difference to go from the G, which is what a lot of people have, okay, or the N, which is the one we're talking about today. We're making a strong argument for why I think it's a better value. The difference in premiums can be $20, $30, $40, as much as $50 a month. In Florida, especially here in the Tallahassee market, I just wrote an individual recently that found me on Google. And we did a plan for his mom, who's brand new to Medicare. He had already talked to someone else locally that couldn't really give him the amount of knowledge and expertise. And they were recommending Plan G with a different carrier. It was a lot more expensive. And I said, listen, no, if you're in Florida, unless you're chronically ill, all day long we're doing Plan M because the rates are so much more cost effective. It was about a $60 difference a month. And so if you look at the $60, it's just all math, my listeners. So just look at $60 a month times 12 months. That's $720 a year in premium that you save. That's back in your pocket. Think about how many office visits you could have at a $20 copay. That's a whole lot. You know, that's, what, 36 visits, assuming every doctor visit will be a $20 copay, which is extremely unlikely, as I just pointed out. I've had many clients that get 10 or 15 or don't have it at all. But assuming the worst, which is play it safe, it's $20 per visit. You could have, with that amount of savings, 36 doctor visits a year. Now, how many folks do you know that go to the doctor 36 times a year? Not many. And how many are going to do that consistently year over year over year over year? It's just not going to happen. It's so statistically unlikely to happen. And that's what insurance is. It's probabilities. It's statistics. So look at the numbers. Put yourself in the better position. So for Florida, if we're doing a supplement plan, almost, you know, majority of the time we're doing a Plan N, unless someone's just very opposed to it, or maybe they have a health condition that would necessitate that many visits. That's rare, but it can happen. Most of the time we're doing a Plan N, as you can see, because the rates just make up for the difference in benefits because you're just having a small copay and then the ER copay. Now, there's one other thing I'll cover with Plan N that's different. It's extremely rare. It's not worth really focusing on, but it's also in the coverage language. It talks about the excess charges. Excess charges are extremely rare. 97% of doctors don't charge in excess, so it's not really worth spending a whole lot of time on. And a lot of states have outlawed it. Florida, it can happen, but it's still extremely rare. I've seen it twice in my career of doing this in 7 years, twice. Once was in Jacksonville with Mayo Clinic. Now Mayo Clinic actually takes assignment. They don't charge in excess, but this was a few years ago. The other time was up in the Northeast in New Jersey. I was a cardiologist. Excess charge is just when a doctor charges above and beyond the fees that Medicare is willing to accept, or the doctor is willing to accept by Medicare. So most doctors will just sign off with a Medicare contract. They're going to agree to payment in full, whatever Medicare will pay them for that particular service and that particular zip code. They're saying, yes, that's enough. That's okay with us. That's what we're going to agree to charge. There are some that differ and say, nope, that's not enough. We need additional monies for that service. We're going to charge in excess. But it's very, very rare. Less than 3% of doctors charge in excess. Most of them in very high cost areas. Even then, it's still pretty obscure, pretty rare to find it, and it's usually contained with specialists. But you can even look up your doctors. You can easily go to Medicare.gov and look up your doctors, and it will tell you if they take an excess charge. So I don't want to spend a lot of time there, but that's the other difference. Plan G covers that excess charge. Plan N does not. However, it's not a real needle mover. Like I said earlier, originally, the office copay is the biggest difference. So if you think about it, if I can save $40 a month to go from G to N, and I go to the doctor a few times a year, even 8 to 10 times a year, why would I not do that? It just makes sense. Now, you may have a few outlier years where you do have increased medical visits, but the premium savings every year is going to more than offset that. And additionally, as I mentioned in the first segment, the rate of increase is also a big factor. So Plan G, and this is my next thing I want to go over, the average rate increases have been running about 9 to 12%, sometimes even higher. We've seen 15, 20, 25% increases. N has been very, very timid increases, 3 and 4%. So that's very, very small. So you have to think like compound interest, right? But this is in reverse. What are you going to pay? So think about 5 years, if your average rate increase is 9 to 12% or higher versus 5 years of 3 to 5%. Think about what that's going to do to the premium. Run it on a calculator. It's going to be a lot more expensive on Plan G than it is on Plan N. So for a lot of people, you start showing them the premium savings, and not just that, but what the future rate increases will be. And inevitably, for most people, it's kind of a no-brainer when they look at it, as long as there's not any major health conditions. So now let's talk about who's a good fit, who's not a good fit. Again, I have clients that have been to the doctor. A gentleman last week I talked to in Texas, he hasn't been to a doctor in 5 years. He's a perfect candidate for Plan N. Hardly ever goes, unless something's majorly wrong, you know? So he's a great fit. Anybody who's reluctant to go to the doctor, maybe he's more focused on holistic medicine or allopathic, you know, more non-traditional methods, they're a great fit. Or folks that don't have any chronic health conditions. You know, if you're not diabetic or have COPD or AFib or heart failure or lupus, some of these things that may require a little bit more care, probably not going to make sense. And even for those that do have those conditions, many of them, they look at all the extra benefits, it just makes more sense. As far as what they pay in premium, it makes more sense for them to be on Plan N. So I don't want to say if you have those conditions, it's just guidelines to look at. It's not a rule per se. If you have a chronic health condition, a lot of people manage it effectively with just prescriptions. Or it may not be a very significant case. For example, COPD could be a light case, and it's not very problematic. So you're not running to a pulmonologist all the time, right? You have to make the decision for you. But I just want to present a lot of evidence today for why I think Plan N is a great, great value for a lot of customers, okay? So hopefully this has been impactful. Hopefully you've learned something new. Again, if you have questions, you can always call or text me, 850-632-0033. Again, it's Justin Colvin with the Medicare Help Desk Radio Show and Podcast. We covered the Plan N in full detail today, and hopefully you've found something helpful. Every Sunday we're here, 11:30 a.m. Eastern, and we look forward to next week. Give me a call. Signing out today. Talk to you later.